Welcome to Career Tours. This week, how do I progress in my career without becoming a manager? Part one. The questions this cast answers are, is the only way to progress in my career being a manager? What kind of career can I have if I don't want to be a manager? And what other options are there for me if I don't want to be a manager?
If you're hiring, you might be wondering, how on earth to tell if a candidate will really be great? How do you know if they're likely to be a rock star or just another pair of hands? Can you tell when you're interviewing candidates if they can do the job and do it well? Hey, good news, we can help. We're hosting a virtual effective hiring manager training this month. The first session is on the 23rd of October and the second is on the 24th. Two sessions, 2 days in a row. Come learn how to hire better so that your team can do more. Sign up for this Zoom session at manager-tools.com/training.
Not everybody wants to be a manager. Not everybody has the attributes to be a manager. Not everybody wants to deal with the other people. Not everybody has the patience. Not everybody has the skill. Not everybody has the will to deal with all of those people. And there isn't room in the organization for everybody to be a manager. A lot of the time, increases in pay and seniority seem to only come with being a manager. So if you don't want to be one, or you can't be one, or you just don't feel fit to be one, how do you get the more pay and the more seniority or the more interest and something new to do without becoming a manager? And hopefully in this guidance, we're going to give you some ideas about what you can do for the 50 years of your career if you don't want to be a manager.
So our outline today is decide what you want your career to be. Then we'll cover the overarching tactic, build and or use your network. Then role options, and lastly, skill options.
And the good news is you get to decide what your career is going to be. A career doesn't have to be a straight line from the bottom of the mountain to the peak. And you don't have to be a day-to-day people manager if you don't think that fits your skills, or even if it's not what you want to do. Because it's not the only way to progress. And we're going to give you a bunch of ideas of ways that you can have new things to do, new ways to be interested, new experiences without becoming a manager in this guidance. I'm going to say it's a meme. I don't know where it came from about don't climb the ladder if the ladder's against the wrong wall. Some people end up doing that. They climb a ladder and then they discover, oh, wait a minute, at the top of this ladder was nothing I wanted. And you don't want to do that. Think about whether or not you want to climb the ladder in the first place. And sometimes it's not for everybody and there's other things you can do instead.
Yeah, that's a good point. So you get to decide what progression means to you. If it means moving on to something more interesting, but the same job title, that's okay. If it means moving to a bigger company with what you thought would be a lesser job title, that's okay too. And if it means taking a cut in salary and you're okay with that, guess what? It's okay. The suggestions we're going to make are not all the same. They're not all apples, but apples, oranges, pears, and plums. So we're not going to be comparing the two same things. And that's going to be okay. You get to choose any of the following strategies or none of the following strategies, right? These are just ideas for you. And you can combine them. What works now might not work later, or it's not what you want. You might get halfway up the ladder that Wendy was talking about and realize you want to jump to the next one. That's okay. So you can choose one or more of these after being a manager for a while. And guess what? That's also going to be okay.
Exactly. You can start being a manager and then decide, you know what? I really thought I wanted this and I hate it. Or you can do it for a while and think, you know, I really do enjoy being a manager, but I just don't want to do it for a while. I'd rather do the hands-on work for a while. You can go in and out of management. There's nothing that says you started being a manager and now you have to continue being a manager. A career of being in a straight line kind of stopped when careers stopped being hierarchical and we stopped having such a structured way of working. And maybe there were lots of disadvantages to that, but one of the advantages is you get to have a wiggly line and you get to define it. And sometimes people feel like, oh, well, somebody will look down on me because I decided that I was a manager and now I'm not. Well, no. If you feel successful, if you feel that this was the right thing for you and your family and what you wanted to do and it gave you something new and interesting and it works for you, then that's fine.
Yeah, it's all about life fulfillment, right? Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's your life. It's your career. It's what you want to do. And we spend a lot of time working. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. What it looks like on a resume is immaterial, because the thing about resumes is not that it's a bad thing to have gaps or to have what looks like going backwards on job titles or what looks like a problem on a resume. The problem is when people can't explain it. So if you have a gap on your resume because you decided that you were going to have a year out to look after a sick family member, or a year out because your child was struggling at school and you wanted that, or you did really well in a job and you had enough money and you just decided you were going to have a year out. Lucky you. Right. If you have a good explanation for that, then that's absolutely fine to have that gap on your resume. So a lot of the time people worry about those things. It's not the thing itself. It's the lack of explanation that's the problem. So if you have a job title that says manager and then a job title that says doer of things, whatever it is you do in your career, that's not a bad thing on your resume, as long as you can explain why you did that. So I was a manager. I really enjoyed managing the team, but I missed doing the actual thing. And I decided that that's what I preferred to do. And I went essentially what looks like backwards, but actually it's much more fulfilling for me. And, 99% of hiring managers will go, makes sense to me, because you know what? Managing really sucks some days.
Yeah. And a lot of managers miss those hands-on jobs themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I hear that a lot.
Yes.
They miss the work that they've had to delegate. All right. Now we're going to cover the overarching tactic, build and use your network. The people with the best careers, no matter how you, they, or anyone else defines best, are the people with the best networks. The people who know about the best opportunities, those which are the best paid, the high profile, or the most interesting, however you define what best is, are the ones with the best network. So even if you define the best career as one that allows you to go to the best events or meet with the most interesting people outside of work, the people with the most opportunity to do this and have these opportunities are the ones with the best network. It's not necessarily what you know, it's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
We've all heard that, right? So having that big network makes a huge difference in your career, no matter how we define what the best career is. It's having that network. So it's not just for managers, right? All of these opportunities are not only for managers or people in a manager role. None of this comes by virtue of having that quote-unquote manager title. It really comes down to your network and making most of those opportunities and connections.
Yeah. If you think about however you define best career in your own head, think about, does that only come with a manager title? And almost certainly some of the definitions of best to you do not come just with a manager title. And you don't have to be a manager to know everybody in the company. And in fact, it's usually the people who are not the managers who do know everybody in the company. And they also know everybody who works with the company and everybody who works in the building, right? But there's one person in a company, usually it's a receptionist or an admin, or it's somebody in the post room, or it's someone in facilities, or it's somebody in HR, but at a fairly low level, that knows everybody. And they know not everybody in their company. They know everybody who works in the building. They won't know everybody who works with the company, because they're just one of those people who naturally gets to know everybody, and they remember their names and they remember who they work for. And they get to know everybody. And that brings them a whole raft of advantages. And there are rewards in connecting people, in helping solve problems, in just being able to say, oh, I know someone who can help you with that, in finding opportunities for yourself, which are interesting, but not management. right? There's lots of things that are interesting problems which aren't management. And in just being in touch with people, right? That we've forgotten, I think, how much fun it is just to hear other people's stories. Because we've lost all that time that we used to spend talking to each other and gone down that productivity work, you know, that 100, we're all striving for 100% productivity and forgotten that like 5% of the time we can just be talking to each other and just exploring.
Yeah, that water cooler talk, right? That's where some of, I feel like the best opportunities came out of those chats, because when people are thinking about, oh, I have this opportunity, they think about the people that they have those connections with that they can reach out to. And in scientific circles, collaborations are really common. Moving to work with new collaborative partners is seen as an exciting new chapter in someone's career. Having a strong network is a way for you to do something similar, even if you're not in the scientific circles. This is also common in academia, I feel like, where it's easy to kind of switch between groups to have those opportunities without having to get promoted or have that manager title, where you can kind of go in between collaborations. And it leads to really interesting work.
You know how we feel about time. It's a precious resource, and we're always focused on using it wisely. So you know that we're never going to waste your time with speakers on our executive speaker series that don't live up to our practical knowledge and powerful connections rule. 1 hour a month, one of the executives from our community will share their knowledge, host a Q&A, and help you by giving you information you can't get anywhere else. That hour will be power-packed and transformative, whether you're an individual contributor or already an executive. Join us by clicking on the Executive Speaker Series header on the Manager Tools homepage.
So the next part of this guidance is split into two parts. So the overarching, if you take nothing else, if you don't do anything else in order to progress your career, whether you want to be a manager or not, it's always build your network and stay in touch with people and look for opportunities. It's always that, whether you want to be a manager, whether you don't want to be a manager, whatever you're doing, it's always the other people that will bring you those opportunities. If you want to think about other roles you could do, we're going to talk about that next. And then we're going to talk about developing skills, which will give you other options. So the first one of the other roles you could try is becoming a project manager. So this is a bit not disingenuous. It's a bit of a stretch, but you can manage projects instead of people. Now, there are people on projects, obviously. It's slightly tongue-in-cheek because projects are carried out by people. And if you think that managing projects means you get to avoid managing people, that's misleading. We don't want to mislead you into thinking you can completely avoid managing people if you're managing projects, but it is a slightly different thing.
Yeah, there are definitely some advantages in that you're more responsible for deliverables and execution than that day-to-day people management, making sure that they're doing what they're supposed to. You have more insight into those deliverables. This leads more to a leadership and less work management, as most people understand it. And more of a variety, as projects tend to be shorter term. Successfully managing projects can lead to more senior roles that are focused on strategy or different project management rather than those day-to-day people interactions and management of having to oversee their work. You're less responsible for the long-term careers of those people on your project management team compared to typical managers of people. And the length of the projects, again, tend to be shorter depending on how your organization does their projects.
Yeah, so depending on the length of the project, sometimes if you have a lot of shorter projects, there'll be a matrix structure where somebody else is responsible for their career and you're just responsible for the management of the projects and the work that's getting done in the projects. If they're longer term projects, sometimes you have both responsibilities. So it depends a lot on the kind of projects you're working on and the length of them, how they're organized in any one company and how much actual day-to-day management of people's tasks versus their actual humanness that you might want to avoid that you're managing. The level of people management versus task management really depends on different companies. And so if you are trying to avoid a lot of people management, you want to carefully consider what you're getting into if you're looking at that role. Some project management roles are very technical and work-based, and some aren't.
Now, a different role option is make a sideways move, that lateral move. Career progression does not always have to go up. Sideways or lateral moves are just as valid. If you do want to have a bigger job with those bigger rewards that can bring, then the same job in a bigger company may be the way to go. Now, know that this is not always true. In big companies, roles sometimes are more restrictive. There are more rules and regulations, and there's less autonomy. On the other hand, projects and territories are bigger. So make sure that you do your research, find out which applies before you take on that job or make that lateral move.
Yeah, there's some generalizations that you can make, but it can be that it goes either way. It could be a bigger job, but it also can be a smaller job, depending on the way the company is organized. If you're moving within your company, you could move to a bigger project or a different team. So a changing to a team that deals with a different geography or a different industry or a different product could all make for interesting moves, even if they're not what would traditionally be thought of as progression. If you've only been dealing with Europe and you get to start dealing with Asia, there's a whole different ball game. Whatever the product is, it's a whole different set of languages and countries and geographies and
cultural norms,
all sorts of things. Yeah, new customers, all of those things. And that's another 2 years of learning easily of doing something new and the same job. So you get some familiarity, but you get something that's new and interesting. And if you're staying in the same company, you get all of the continuity of relationships that you had and the benefits of those continuity of relationships that you've been building up over the last couple of years or however long you've been there. So making a sideways move within a company can be a really good way to make a change and keep some of the benefits of being in the same place without becoming a manager, if that's not what you want.
Yeah. Another role option is become a consultant. Like mentoring, becoming a consultant allows you to use your skills and knowledge, but doesn't require day-to-day management of people. It gives you variety in that you are delivering your services to usually several or many companies all at once. So it gives you different opportunities to work through multiple organizations, meeting new people, broadening your horizons. Being a consultant doesn't keep you firmly in one spot. You have a little bit more flexibility.
And you can be a consultant within a company and work for that company. For instance, if you're a McKinsey consultant, you work for McKinsey, but you work out on their clients. So you could work in a McKinsey office on their client's work, or you could work on the client site, but you still work for McKinsey, or you can work for yourself, so your own company, and then you work either in your office or on your client sites. And either way, it doesn't matter what kind of consultant you are and what the business model is, you will always need some, at least some, and maybe a lot of ability to sell yourself. A lot of people find the consulting part very easy. I can tell you, it's very easy to tell people what to do. It's very easy to see, especially if you're an expert in an area, it's very easy to be on the outside and see what someone else's problems are. It is the sales part and keeping a business going or running a business that is actually harder. And even if you work for one of those companies like McKinsey, which you would think would sell itself, you still have to sell yourself, your billable hours, so that you keep up your utilization so that you are a valuable member of staff. And so you're working, and at the same time, you are making sure that the customer finds your advice helpful and useful so that they will ask for you again. So there's two things that you have to be able to do at once. So that is not for everybody, even though most of us, a lot of people, find giving other people advice very easy.
Yeah, you could have the skills, but you are your own product at that point. You have to sell yourself.
Yeah. So another way you can do this is choose smaller companies or ones with flatter structures. So we mentioned earlier how big companies can have more rules and regulations, which makes the jobs smaller, not larger. They constrict what you're able to do. The flip side is that in a smaller company, you're more likely to have a bigger role with a wider scope and no people to manage. Because in smaller companies, there's less likely to be layers. And so you're more likely to have more authority because there's just less height between you and the person who's in charge of the company. In flatter companies where there are fewer layers of management, again, the individual contributors do more because they have to. There isn't layers and layers between them and whoever owns the company.
So this is a lesson in understanding what you want and the kind of organizations that have those structures that would have the jobs with the attributes that you want. So it's an instance kind of like the other things that we've talked about. You have to look before you leap. You have to make sure that the structure, that that organization has those attributes that you're looking for. Now, in big companies, there is usually an IT help desk who will fix things for you. Now, this is an example. On the other hand, you usually have to go through the process to get anything through IT fix at these bigger organizations. In a smaller company, you might have to go to the Apple store yourself. But you don't have to ask anyone, and you can go this afternoon as long as they have an open appointment. So there's a difference, and you have to know which one you're okay with. So knowing which one you prefer and which kind of company you will have a preference is key to your career happiness.
For some people, there's a preference. I would rather have a process and have someone come and fix it for me and have some stability and knowledge that the company is big and stable and it's been there for 100 years and it's in my community and they sponsor the football team and it's just solid. And for other people, they're willing to take a risk on a smaller company with somebody who is charismatic at the lead, at the head of it, and who says, yeah, just, you know, sort yourself out, it's fine. And they're willing to go do some of that themselves. And there's a whole range in between, of course. And knowing which one of those you prefer is really essential to knowing where you'll be most happy. And that's true of all jobs, whether you want to be a manager or not. It's a kind of environmental thing. But also, those two different realms are more likely or less likely to have managers or have individual contributor jobs, which have a lot of scope or not. So that's our role options. So we've given you a whole bunch to think about. So next week, we'll come back with the skill options if you want to progress, but you don't want to be a manager. Thanks, Amanda.
Thanks, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.